Aloha and good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. So let's just start by actually taking a deep breath and just dropping into this call with the love and just the energy of souls from all over the world who are committed to their path, to their spiritual path, to their path of success and joy in life, as I'm sure that's why you're here and you find yourself on this call. So we're just going to get started this evening for this call on what to do when you feel you're losing faith. And it's quite a deep topic, so we're going to be exploring some really important aspects of this so that you can really understand your journey, understand yourself, your connection to the divine, and keep progressing forward on your path without getting stuck or stalled or slowed down or confused and so forth. So we're going to start with a meditation, and Brother Nick may have some internet kind of connectivity issues, but we have Brother Michael here tonight who has a lot to share with us. He's been on the path about 20 years and has some very powerful stories and insights. So just get started by breathing deeply in, and on your exhale, just really softening your shoulders. And beginning to turn your attention inwards. So away from the pulls and distractions of the day and the people and the dramas, and coming inside, feeling your energy return inwards. And as you do so, you're just going to see yourself coming deep, as if you're in an ocean. You're coming away from the surface of the ocean with the waves and somewhat chaotic waves and symbolic of the, you know, the noise of life. And you're just coming deep, deep, like diving deep into the depths of the ocean, where we find a place of deep silence internally, this depth of our being, this core of our being, uninfluenced by the waves and dramas and noise and chaos of life at the surface. And as you feel your spirit, the depth of your being, dropping deeper and deeper inside, you begin to really feel that relief, that peace, that deeper relaxation that is completely natural to who you are at the core. And as you're here, you're also in the presence and the warmth and the love of that higher power, of that being of peace and bliss. And even if it's subtle, just being aware of yourself really being surrounded by this love, this deep, silent presence of love at the core of your being and your experience, away from the waves of the surface of life, and deep in this place where you are eternally safe, secure, powerful, and peaceful, the depths of your being. So as you continue to just breathe here and be here throughout the course of this call, just enjoy being deeper inside yourself, taking this time to really reflect and be connected to your essence. So we'll do a few more guided little journeys throughout. And this moment, I'm going to hand it over to Michael for a few minutes here to just start us off with this topic of what to do when you feel you're losing faith, how to stay connected spiritually, even in those really dark moments.
Many, many blessings and welcome to the call. So I want to congratulate everyone for being here, because if you're on this call, it means that you are on the path. You're on the path. And simply getting on the path of freedom, is half the work. So just being here, you're halfway there already. And that's a good thing to remember. So it's better to be on the path and having doubts than not to be on the path at all. So I hope you realize that, because many souls, if you think about the world, right now in the world, what's the context of the times? We're living in a world where most people are heavily manipulated by the media, by TV, by social programming. And they are far from even thinking about being on the path. And here you are on the path, on the path. And that means that you are guaranteed to reach your destination, because your very intention for starting the journey is going to guide you to where you want to go next. And so what we want to do in this call is help you understand what's really going on, and also to go from worrying about things, the fear, the stress, into the mystery, because life is a constant mystery. It's a mystery, isn't it? And one of the main questions I think we all need to ask ourselves is, what kind of world do we live in? What kind of world is this? Look around you. What kind of universe is this? Is this a benevolent, loving universe? Or is it a dark and evil universe? Yeah, think about it. What kind of universe are you in? Because if we're living in a dark and evil universe, then we're in trouble, aren't we? If that's the sort of place that we're in, then we're in trouble, yeah? But what do you think it is? Is it a dark and evil universe, or are we living in a benevolent universe? Or is it something else? So on the path, I'm sure you probably think it is a benevolent universe, yeah? It'd be good to have people to raise their hands and tell us what they think, but this is an interesting thing consider. Are we living in a benevolent universe, a loving universe, a supportive universe, or are we living fundamentally in an evil place? What is the world? And what is your relationship to the world? So let's just start with the beginning, which is that I believe, and I'm sure a lot of people here believe, that we are living in a benevolent place. It's a benevolent place. It might not look like it at times, but this is a benevolent, wonderful universe. And as we go along our path, and I've been on the spiritual journey since I was 18. Yeah, I had a breakdown when I was 18. I was living a very superficial life. A life of indulgence, a life of consumerism for many years. And it made me completely depressed. And you could say I lost faith in the path when I was 18. I lost faith in the consumer path, the mainstream path, the path that I imagine a lot of us have lived on. And the reason you're here on this call is because you've taken a different path. And so I'm sure you can all remember the time when you decided that that wasn't working for you. And you lost faith, that carrying on working a job, being stuck in the matrix, being stuck in the system, there came a time when you realized that wasn't working for you. You lost faith in it, and you abandoned it. And when that happened to me, I was deeply, deeply depressed. I remember I felt like my whole life was caving in on all sides. And nothing I did made me feel better. I completely lost faith in everything. And it was only after I literally was at the bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom of the barrel for the last tiny little bit of something, that I realized that there was nowhere else left. And that was when I finally embraced a new path. And what happened to me, which I'm sure has happened to you in your own way, is you had a vision, you had a premonition, you had an insight, there's something else, and you had some kind of experience that pulled you out of the old way and got you on a new path. And for me, I literally was pulled out of my body. I had an out-of-body experience where I was taken to another world, and I was literally shown in a divine vision of two paths ahead of me. And I saw the future. I saw 2 years into the future, and I saw that I could carry on in the old path, the old paradigm, stuck in the matrix, or I could take a new path. And this new path opened up only when I lost faith in the old path. That wasn't even there until then. And once I took the first few steps onto the new path, I felt as if I was being divinely blessed. A grace, profound grace came over me that literally changed my entire life forever, because that new path hadn't existed until then. And then I came back into my body and I was changed, fundamentally changed, because I entered a new reality and a new path. And I'm sure you've had some similar experience like this yourself, where you realized that something wasn't working, you opened up to something new, and then you began the path that you're on now. Now, as you go along this new path, the spiritual path, the path of awakening, then these challenges start to come up again. This is the shocking thing we find ourselves in. That even when you embrace a new path, after a while, you start getting more challenges. And let us not forget that we are living in extreme times. Right now in the world, there's never been a time in human history where there's been as many people here, for a start, yeah? Because every person has a world. Each one is a world unto themselves. Every human soul is their own world, and every animal is their own world. Every insect is its own world. Everyone lives in their own version of reality, and there's literally billions, if not trillions of realities, including all the insects and animals. So never before has there been so many different worlds going on, so many people, all this new technology that we're not used to. There's more religions and paths and opinions than ever before. And the old systems of government, the old systems of economics, the old systems of education, of religion, all of it is going through a state of chaos right now. So just being alive at this time with this amount of change, the severity of change, the swiftness of change is hard to deal with. Just being here, yeah? So I want to congratulate everyone just for being here at all, because this is an extremely intense time to be alive. And there are literally 1,000 reasons why you should be losing faith, yeah? Because anything that you think could be reliable, yeah? Maybe you think relationships should be reliable and they're falling apart. Or you think your job should be reliable and that's falling apart. you think the country should be reliable, and there's all these crazy things happening, fires and wars and economic collapse in different ways. You think maybe the politics should be reliable, and you see the latest and greatest in the politics, and you think, what the hell, how can I have any faith in the system anymore? You know, so that everything is falling to pieces. Everything. Now, this can either freak us out, and obviously, you know, a lot of us are freaked out about this, and we should be. But there is huge blessing, because remember, we talked about this earlier. We are fundamentally living in a benevolent, loving universe. And there are laws of the universe that are operating on a higher level than the ego can comprehend. So our mind can see things, but it can't necessarily understand all of the secrets and the mysteries about why things are occurring the way that they are. But just because we can't see the mysteries doesn't mean that they're not there. Just because we can't see the benefit doesn't mean that it's not there. And I want each of you just to think of a time in your life when things fell to pieces. Think of a time in your own life. Maybe things are falling apart now, but think back in the past when things were very challenging for you. And notice how you did actually come through that, didn't you? Yeah. And I've found, having worked with thousands of people over the years, that it's after the most challenging moments that we have the greatest light and the greatest breakthroughs. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. How many times has completely shocking situation actually turned out to be the best thing that ever happened? But it certainly didn't seem like that, yeah, at the time. It certainly doesn't feel like it. I remember one time I'd spent 6 months in India in silence, and I came back to England, and my entire life completely fell to pieces. Completely fell to pieces. My relationships collapsed. I lost tons of money. My health was compromised. I couldn't even buy any food. I had not enough money to buy food. Couldn't pay my rent. My girlfriend at the time was now became the girlfriend of my best friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can imagine how, and like everything, and my spiritual practice went into like down the drain. I felt absolutely depressed. I remember I was literally lying on the floor most of the time, lying on the wooden floor in my room, because I couldn't get up. I couldn't eat anything. Couldn't even buy any food if I had anything. Nothing to eat. Lying on the floor in absolute desperation, calling out for help. I literally lost faith in everything because nothing was there for me, you know. As far as I was concerned, I literally got to the point where I one day dragged myself out into the park, into this field, and I lay on the ground, and I looked up at the sky, and I said, please, God, please take me away. I'd rather be dead. Literally, and I hoped that I could die. I was literally hoping for death to come and take me, literally. Makes me a bit emotional talking about this. But it was after the death, when I was literally willing to die, that I was blessed with a knowing, a nishchay, a knowing, a certainty, that somehow, there's hidden secrets that I couldn't see. And just knowing that, I actually sprang off the ground, and I felt, for the first time in like almost a year, I felt joy. I felt joy again for the first time. For no reason, everything was still a complete mess in my life. But despite it being a complete disaster, nothing had changed. I felt that something was going to happen. And within about, I think it was somewhere between three weeks and five, some about a month later, I ended up on the beautiful white sandy beaches of Hawaii, living a completely different life. Within a month, everything changed. And what I realized, and I didn't expect any of this, I couldn't even imagine it, what I realized is that I had to lose faith. I had to completely lose faith in my old life in order for me to embrace my destiny. I had to completely lose faith in my old life to embrace what life was trying to show me. So in your case, whatever is going on in your life that you're feeling is terrible, and I'm sure it feels terrible, I certainly know what it's like to have challenges. We're all going through a dark time, you know, it's a hard life. But whatever it is, what if you're supposed to lose faith? What if losing faith is exactly what you need for something remarkable and magical to happen that you can't even imagine? And only when you lose faith entirely will that be revealed unto you.
Oh, that's powerful, a powerful thing to be reflecting on, really. We have to lose faith in what's not working. We have to lose faith in, you know, we can invest our love and our faith and our trust in so many things and life looking a certain way. And as we were sharing in the beginning, ultimately it is a benevolent universe, right? There's no doubt some crazy things happening, but at the same time, these darker things occurring, these challenges in life, there is a gift within that, and it's actually bringing us back to our center and back to the truth and back to the path that was destined for us. So if you're somebody who's just not feeling that alignment, just feeling things crumbling and struggling, having this realization there is a perfection to that, and that your faith, your true faith, and what I'm calling your faith of faiths, is actually lying at a much deeper level of your being. So in the beginning of this call, we did a meditation, if you were here in the beginning, that led us to the depths of the ocean. And if we think of our lives similar to the ocean, on the surface there's these waves, there's this noise, there's this chaos, you know, constantly. There's always waves in the ocean. But when we go to the depths of the ocean, when we go deep, deep to the core, and this is like deep, deep to the core of our being, there is a silence and a stillness that in today's world, few are probably in touch with on a regular basis, right? But it's at this place, this core of our being, that I believe, and I have faith that this is true, and have seen in myself and others, that there is this faith of faiths that is ultimately aware and peaceful with our destiny. That there is a part of you that perhaps you've been in touch with that actually knows that it's okay and is at peace with your journey. And it's that deep, deep faith within you where your deep core soul intention lies. And it's this deep core intention, deep in your being, might be conscious, might not be conscious, might surface just a little bit. Remember, it's at the deep, deep core of the ocean of your being. And it's really that's guiding you. In my sense, if you're on this call right now, that deep in the depths of your being, there is a faith of faith, there is an intention to ascend, to know thyself, to know God, to know truth, to be in the world in a remarkably beautiful way, in a higher space of consciousness. And even if that's not your experience, there is a faith of faith deep in the core of your being that actually even brought you to this call this evening. Right, that quiet as it may be is actually guiding you. And to just start to just become aware of that and have a level of trust in that is the experience that Michael says let's do in meditation. So we'll do that. And if you came a little bit late, our brother Nick, deep in the jungle of Bali, wasn't able to get reception tonight, I don't think. So we have the gift of Michael with us right now, who's has quite a bit more to share. So let's just have 5 minute experience of really going back into the depths of your being, into the depths of the ocean, the core of your essence. So just going ahead and taking another deep breath in and deep breath out, just slowing down the nervous system, slowing down the external focus. And feeling your energy again come deep inside, and feeling yourself diving into the depths of this ocean of peace. And as you're doing that, you're just aware that kind of the stuff on the surface that might be bothering you or worrying you is just like fading away as you dive deeper and deeper into what is real. What is eternal, what is solid and true. And as you go into that depth, you become more and more in touch with your heart of heart and with this faith of faith, with this core. And that love and that faith you find right away is being held and supported and loved by that higher power, by that spiritual source, that spiritual parent. So even if you find yourself like floating back up to the surface of the details and doubts or things going on, you find that this love, this depth of love, keeps bringing you back to your center. In the deep stillness of your being. Where there is a truth that is unshakable, and that is what is guiding you. And just taking a moment now to have your intention be for that core of your being, may that core of your being guide you. May you trust in that. And know deep within you its presence. So just breathe into that and just feel the relief of something solid, of something core, something true. And just stay with that. And stay in that space of depth.
Thank you, Aurel. So being here in this world, it's a very strange experience, very strange indeed. And if you've been in the Western world and you've been exposed to television, movies, magazines, Western education, you have been affected subliminally, we all have, subliminal messages about what life is supposed to be like. Every culture has messages that they want us to believe. And because we're living in a world of total flux right now, the things that we were told should be stable actually are not stable. The things that we are told should be the way it is turn out not to be the way it is at all. So we've been sold a lie, and even if we have renounced that and decided it doesn't work for us, it's still lingering inside of us. So a lot of this worry we have about our lives is actually a consequence of a conflict within you between what you were told about life and the way life actually is. So we have a map. We have a map in our mind, in our awareness, that is oftentimes not matching our real life. So all of us have this. We wander around in our world, and we have some idea of what we think life is supposed to be like. And then we have our real life, day to day, moment to moment. And when it doesn't match, we feel distressed, we feel confused, we feel worried, we feel anxious. And so oftentimes when we feel like we're losing faith, it's because how we feel about life isn't the same as what we want it to be. We would like it to be different. We want it to be according to how we imagine things to be. And it turns out that that's just not the way it works. And if this keeps happening, we start becoming very confused and wondering what is going on here, because nothing is lining up the way we want it to. But this is part of life. This is supposed to happen. This is a good thing. Because if we have faulty maps in our head about the universe, it's wonderful for them to be changed and to be broken down and upgraded. Because there's something far, 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 far more wonderful, far more magical that is awaiting you than anything you can actually imagine. Because the only things that we can imagine are the things that we're aware of and the things that we have experienced so far. We're kind of using the past as our reference to what's possible for the future. The future has things that are beyond anything you can actually imagine. So there's all sorts of wonderful things on the other side in the future that you can't even comprehend right now. Yeah, they're just glimpses. Maybe when you've had peak moments, you've experienced these states of profound joy and freedom and bliss, and you're like, ah, yes, that's awesome. Yeah, and then you come back and you're like, I don't know how to get there. But these things are glimpses of something truly remarkable. And when we realize that life is trying to help us, life is genuinely trying to help you go through this journey. And many times we actually need to abandon our old ideas completely in order for us to get the new download, the new upgrade. Yeah, I'll give you a quick example of this. When I first started thinking about serving people on all over the world, yeah, you know, here we are, we've now got thousands and thousands of people that we help all the time. But in the past, this was just an idea. It wasn't real. It was just an idea, and I wanted to make something happen. And Nick and I talked about all these things. And there came a point where everything that we did, all our wonderful ideas and all our wonderful projects and all our wonderful intentions, none of them were working. Everything was just a complete disaster. And there's all these problems and all these things, and there's relationship problems, technology problems, cash flow problems. There was the problems from the problems, yeah? And I, at that point, thought, hang on a minute, this is just not working out. And I lost faith in the whole idea of it because it just simply wasn't working. What happened is I decided, if this is such a hassle, if this is going to be so hard, I might as well just give it up completely. Yeah. So I said, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to bother with this anymore. This is not worth it to me. I might as well do something else. And I actually just officially said to myself very, very clearly, that's it. We're done. I'm not having any more of this. I'm over it. I'm going to just focus on another thing. I'm completely finished. And I genuinely let it go. Yeah, I completely let it go, and I said, oh, I wonder what's next. And I was just open to something else, genuinely. Now, guess what happened next? Yeah, because I was done. Yeah, done. What happened was within 12 hours, I met somebody who had all of the unique skills, talents, and resources that I didn't have just appeared in 12 hours. And also actually connected me to RL later on, that same person, and helped us with so many things within 12 hours. Now, that is a miracle, but it's a miracle based on me losing faith. Only when I completely lost faith and gave up did that happen. So I've given you 3 stories. So I could probably give you 100 stories. We could be here all night and I could give you stories. And I'm sure you've experienced this yourself. The reason I'm giving you these stories is that life is trying to help you. Life's trying to help you. Life's trying to help you right now. Right, trying to help you. And what we need to do is align ourselves with the forces of goodness and the forces of life that are trying to support us to get the message. Because the universe is a feedback machine. It's trying to give us feedback. It's trying to give us messages all the time, every day, trying to give us the message, by mirroring things. But if we're attached to the past, and if we're holding on to old ideas about what's possible, we can't get the message, because attachment destroys all truth. Yeah, this is an ancient expression from ancient India. Attachment destroys all truth. So when we're attached to things and we're not able to see beyond that, we're not able to see what's in front of us, we're blocked, we kind of go into a blind trance state. So when you lose faith, in a way, what's happening is you're losing your attachment to an idea of what life should be like, and opening yourself up to something far more powerful, more stable, and far better than anything that was happening in that old vision.
And it's interesting because I feel too, and you can sense this, that it's actually at that moment that you're losing faith that you're also tapping into a deeper faith. Because to come to that point where you're willing to completely let go of something, you know, part of Michael's story is like the one when he was in the field, he totally lost faith, but at that same moment, he also gained faith and was calling out to a higher power to help him. So it's always very interesting, these moments of completely, I'd say, losing faith in our attachments, in our doubts. And it's like at that very moment, we are actually on a deeper level realigning with a deeper core faith. We're asking from our being, okay, what is true? What is real? What is authentic for me? And when we come to that point, oftentimes one of the things that I do, and I really recommend, it's wonderfully helpful, is when you get to that point to, or actually you don't even have to get to that point, but to do this more on a regular basis, to not let go of your deeper connection to a higher power. And you might continue to lose faith in what you thought your relationship to that being is. You know, if there's anything that needs to be let go of that isn't based in a core soul essence place, that'll happen. But to stay in connection, to stay in communication with this being, one of the practices I really like to do is to write letters to share, you know, what it is that is happening, what it is that I'm seeking guidance on, and that the answer will always come, whether it's out of your pen and onto your sheet of paper in that moment, or whether it's, like Michael said, the next day someone showing up in your life who's going to run your text out of your business for you and get you back on track. So there's a level of faith in that too, because when you come to that point of maybe giving up on something, you're also opening yourself up to something new. You're letting go of your attachments to an old way of seeing something. And this is really a moment of great power and great grace. And, it's a celebration. It's a wonderful thing when we do have reached those dark places, because there is always great light returning. And staying open to that from the core of your being is all that's required.
Many of you have been brought up in Western culture, I'm sure, and you probably had Christmas, yeah? And at Christmas, what were we told? Yeah, I was told, and I'm sure a lot of you were told, that Santa Claus was delivering Christmas presents to you. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, Santa was going to give you all your presents. And so I remember being a child and being told Santa's coming, and, you know, one day there's no Christmas presents, and the next day Santa has come and there's all these presents under the tree. And it's all very exciting. It's all very wonderful. But then, sooner or later, what happens? We get told that actually, or we find out, or we just discover that our parents have been buying all these presents and putting them under the tree, and it's nothing to do with Santa Claus. Santa Claus is not even real. Yeah? And that's like a traumatic experience that a lot of children go through, you know? Same with the tooth fairy. You know, you put your tooth under the pillow, and like you get your, you know, a little bit of money appears under the pillow, yeah? Tooth Fairy gave me a fair bit of cash that I used to enjoy, and Santa Claus gave me lots of presents, and then I realized there is no Tooth Fairy and there is no Santa Claus. And in that moment, I lost faith in Santa Claus, and I also lost faith in the Tooth Fairy. Yeah. And as a child, this can be quite disturbing, you know, and as a child, we lose faith in all sorts of things. Often we lose faith in our parents. We realize that actually they don't hardly know anything, really, and we shouldn't be listening to them. You know, like when we're younger, we think our parents know everything and they're the best ever. And then as we grow up, we realize actually it's trouble, trouble, trouble a lot of the time. We should probably not listen to anything they say, you know, depending on who they are. So in a way, losing faith is completely natural. But like RL was saying, we're opening up to a higher faith, a deeper faith, a faith in something else. So each level of faith is only there for a temporary period for us to go to the next level. Yeah, isn't that wonderful to know? So the reason we're sharing this is that it's good news. We're saying that ultimately it's good news, because every time we let go of one thing, we get something better. And like we were sharing earlier in the call, if you think back to some of the most challenging times of your life, when you got through those challenging times, there was hidden blessings that weren't possible up until that moment. Yeah? So challenges are part of the process, and they're helping us. And losing faith is also helping us gain a deeper and more profound version of reality. And I remember a spiritual teacher sharing this with me many years ago. She said that if you're going to be on this path, if you're going to be on this spiritual path, right, and you're going to do all this work and you read these books and do meditation and all this stuff, right, and you're willing to like learn it, don't you want to know the truth? After all that work, you're on the path, you're already on the path, don't you want to know the truth? Don't you think you deserve to know the truth? Yeah? If you're going to bother doing all this stuff, you might as well know the truth. And even if the truth shatters your existing reality, even if you get shocked, just like children when we're shocked that the Tooth Fairy isn't real and Santa Claus isn't real, even if we get shocked temporarily, ultimately, isn't it better to know the truth? And the truth is so wonderful and so powerful that we can glimpse it in stages. You don't get it all in one shot because we can't handle it, yeah? So we get given glimpses. And the more we're willing to let go of attachment to our old ideas, and the more we're willing to just abandon things, the faster the complete reality is revealed to us. So rather than fighting with life, rather than fighting with the universe, the question we need to ask ourselves is, how is this serving me? How is this helping me? How is this supporting me? What can I learn from this? What can I benefit from this? How can I take advantage of this? Yeah? Because life is life. Life is truth. If it's happening, it must be true, because otherwise it wouldn't be happening. Here it is. Yeah? Here we are. We can deny our life. We can run away from it, but it's here. Once we look at it again and say, all right, what do I need to let go? And what can I learn? What is life telling me to release? And what is life telling me to gain? Because every time you shut one door, another one opens. A better door. A brighter reality. But if we try and get back into that old room that's already closing, then we can be very disturbed and we're living in the past. But what if the most wonderful thing you've ever experienced is just ahead of you on the other side of the mountain, and you can't see what it is right now?
So these are real, you know, experiences and kind of storylines that we have in life. And you've probably had them to one extent or another, but when we're in the middle of the latest storm, or when, you know, a really deep thing surfaces from the subconscious, it can be pretty easy to forget and trust and have faith. And, you know, if you're somebody, and probably if you're on this call, somebody who's been on the path. And the deeper we go, the farther we walk towards our freedom, the more darkness really comes up. The anything and everything within us that must be released is going to come up. And there's moments when it can really feel like a storm, like it overtakes us, like we're totally knocked out by something. And it's in those moments that it's so important, like as valuable as a diamond, that we're just even talking about this consciously, that even in the midst of that pain and that storm, you connect deep down to your faith of faith and you keep on going on. The biggest mistake that happens on the path is that as the storms get intense, people step off the path, stop moving forward, abandon it, right? That happens a lot. And that's one of the main things we want to look out for as we're trudging in the dark territories of the subconscious and kind of the collective negativity that lies within us as well, that we are clearing out as we walk back toward our original pure state of being and experience. So keep on going on. I told a little bit of story about Mother Teresa. I think it was last call. She's such an incredible inspiration, this woman, because she was serving tirelessly, helping the poor in India. She was staying as, from what I've heard about her, I have not met her, staying as cheerful as possible and continuing with her prayer and her dedication to God, even while feeling horrifically in despair, horrifically alone, like she felt God abandoned her, and what sounds to be like quite a dark night of the soul. But she did not step off the path, and my sense is she was ultimately connected to that faith of faith at the core of her being, and she kept on going on. And I think this is really one of the cornerstone messages of the spiritual path, to keep on going on. You know, I was we recently were watching something about the Buddha's journey. And if you know the story of the Buddha, he was sitting under the tree, and there were incredibly crazy storms that emerged on the screen of his mind, because a lot of this stuff is internal. And he was not shaken. He kept on going on. He kept on sitting and facing whatever it was that was arising. And he did not, you know, get up and leave or get distracted or get off track from the path he was on. And so staying and keep on going on, and also knowing clearly the essential cornerstones, I think, of the path. This is actually just something coming to mind right now. But having something solid, having something solid to come back to. Because when there's very crazy storms, if we think about in the atmosphere, there's like a crazy tornado. If you don't have something solid, you know, maybe it's like a shelter underground, then it's quite easy to get blown and swept away. So we need something solid. Part of that's our regular commitment and connection to that higher power. And it's also the benevolent qualities of the soul, I think, that we have to keep coming back to and not lose sight of. And that's humility, that's honesty, that's faith, that's love, right? And there's quite a few. And I think these can kind of be grounding cornerstones, that when we're in the middle of an insane storm, we remember the true qualities of the soul. We remember something solid, something of solid ground. And this is really something, you know, these calls are kind of a part of superhero training. They're kind of sharing, we're just sharing with all of you, really, even if you're not in the training, but kind of the purpose of that, you know, outside of what we share with you just on these calls and the other things we send you if you're not in the training. And the purpose of that is a structure, is something solid, something completely that you can trust and have ground in, like a system, and also a community that ensures that you stay there, you stay on the path, and you don't get swept away. Gosh, there's a great story I remember hearing David Hawkins, a beautiful soul. He was sharing this about the Alcohol Anonymous group, and how really so much of the power, there's two things. The power and effectiveness of that group, one is that the, you know, essential steps are that the ego, cannot overcome this addiction on my own, and I need the help of a higher power. I rely on that higher power. I, you know, call to that being. So that's the foundation of the power of that. The other thing is, because of that, the group energy fields of AA is at quite a high level of consciousness, and it's a powerful field of energy that as an individual on our own we wouldn't experience. So David Hawkins is sharing a story about someone who thought, oh, you know, I'm doing great. He was able to become sober and said, I don't need this group, right? And he left, and I think within a month or something was, I think he ended up in a mental hospital and back on tons of alcohol and so forth, and you know, just hadn't realized the power of that foundation that particular organization provides, and the energy field that was really holding him and lifting him up. So we need these solid things, these powerful things that are of a higher level of consciousness that lift us up. And having that in addition to our supreme connection with God, and if we're with other souls that are also making that connection and committed to the path and committed to the practices and the routine and really the discipline and the dedication, there can't be enough said for it, really. It is something that we could not do on our own, right? But when we come together and an energy field of power and higher consciousness is created, it really becomes something very stable for us on our path. And, extraordinarily nourishing. You know, we need each other. You know, we're not just alone on the planet by ourselves for a reason. And surrounding yourself with high consciousness souls, beautiful beings who also have a commitment, is powerful beyond measure.
It's so true. When we're just on our own, you know, we're stuck in our own level of being and can't really see outside of it. But when we're together, then we gain the support and the friendship and the experiences and the knowingness that it's going to be all right. You know, because, I mean, I've been to the verge of death, I'm sure, and all sorts of horrible things have happened to me in my life, and I've come out the other end. So I know that there is something better, you know. And just having that experience is helpful for others. You know, when we can share your story, I can share my story. We all have stories. And when we share with each other, we realize it's okay. This is a human journey. It's the hero's journey. And life is trying to bless us. Life is really trying to bless us, all of us. And it's really important to remember, it's critical to remember that the thing within you, that which you are, that which you really are, is completely stable. Who you are at the core, who you are at the core, is unshakable and powerful. So the life is spinning like a hurricane around us. But in the middle is profound peace, complete peace. And one of the most powerful things that you can do, one of the most powerful awarenesses you can have about life generally, is that anything that is not the highest, anything that is not true, anything that is not really serving you, anything that's not really ultimately the best ever, is meant, is designed to be destroyed. The universe actually wants to destroy dysfunctional things. If you think about your body, yeah? If your body finds any cancerous cells, its job is to kill them all off, isn't it? You have a strong immune system, the body can kill off unfortunate, unnatural things out of the system, yeah? That's a good thing. It's a good thing, yeah? So a strong immune system kills off stuff, yeah? It's supposed to do that. The universe has an extremely potent immune system, yeah? And as a human species, we've been living way out of alignment with the universe. And so the universe is now kicking ass hardcore to get things sorted out. Yeah, it's a natural rhythm. And while we're experiencing a detox physically, like if you're going through a treatment of some sort, or you're going through, if you get a cold or you get the flu, yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? Yeah, every time you get sick, get knocked out, detoxing, can barely get out of bed, headaches, nausea, yeah? But the body's trying to clear things out, isn't it? You have, like, fever. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we can all... I've certainly had lots of sicknesses where I definitely haven't been enjoying lying in bed, you know? But ultimately, when you come out the other end, the body has cleared things out of the system. And in a deeper level, this is what's happening in our lives. So the faith we need to have is that these challenging situations are, in a sense, the universe's immune system trying to help us remove and detox the things that don't serve us from our life. And if you are willing to take that perspective, yeah, if you're willing to embrace that consciousness, then you can align yourself with it and you can say, all right, the universe is trying to help me. How can I align with this so that I can speed it up rather than resist it and slow it down? Yeah? I'll give you an example. We work with loads of people all over the world, and so many times people's relationships fall apart. And obviously we don't want that to happen. We don't advertise, come to our courses and ruin your relationships or anything like that. Yeah, we're not. That's obviously not what we want to do. But we've found over and over again that when you get on a spiritual path, when you embrace the path, your life will fall apart. And anything that doesn't work, anything that doesn't serve you is going to come to the surface. And the universe is going to try and take it away from you. Yeah? And we can fight with it. We can resist it. We can complain about it. We can try and stop it happening. We can try and slow it down. We can deny it. But if it's supposed to go, if something's supposed to shift, if we're supposed to get in a different situation, new relationship, new work, new business, new practices, if we're supposed to move out of something to something else, it's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen. And it will happen. So what we have to ask ourselves very deeply in our heart is, am I willing to align my life with the higher laws of nature and the universe? Am I willing to align with that, or am I going to resist it? Because whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway. And really the only issue is, am I going to go willingly, and am I going to enjoy the journey as best I can, or am I going to go kicking and screaming? And I've personally found that kicking and screaming isn't very fun, and it just prolongs the misery, yeah? Like, think, for example, I've been in relationships that have just been dysfunctional relationships, and I tried to make them work, I tried to prolong them, I tried to sort them out, and I ultimately knew deep in my heart that they needed to change, and I needed to get out of it, and I tried to keep it going, but then pain got stronger and stronger, the pain got worse and worse and worse, and then it ended anyway. And looking back, I realized that I might as well have just ended it years earlier and been done with it. So are we going to align with the messages? What is the universe telling you? Are you going to align with it and have faith that the universe is serving you and actually experience huge breakthroughs and experience wonderful things on the other side of the mountain that you can't even see, yeah, because all this stuff is on the other side. Only after we've had the breakthrough do we get the other thing. Or are we going to go kicking and screaming and prolong our pain? Yeah, because life is challenging anyway, but we can make it more challenging or less challenging. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the myths of this spiritual path. The spiritual path is not fairies and cherubs and angels sitting on clouds playing a harp with grapes. Yeah? I'm afraid to say, but you're not just going to sit on your nice fluffy cloud and play your harp like an angel. That, unfortunately, doesn't work. The spiritual path is the most amazing thing that you'll ever experience, but it's also riddled with mystery and challenges and unexpected twists and turns that make it fascinating. I mean, quite honestly, what would you prefer? A boring life where everything was predictable, or unexpected, strange, twisty, turny, wiggly, wobbly, mystical experience? I mean, what do you want? So the universe is giving us all these things because that's part of the journey. And if it wasn't that way, we would be bored. Yeah? So are we going to go kicking and screaming, or are we going to align with the waves of life and surf the waves and enjoy it? Yeah, because either way, we're in life, aren't we? We're here anyway, whether you like it or not. And one of the biggest breakthroughs I've ever experienced in my life is when I realized that I can't escape anything. I can't escape life. So and this is a big deal when I realized I can't escape. I can't escape life. I can't escape my problems. I can't run away from anything. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. So what am I going to do about it? I might as well get really, really good at it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get out of it anyway, so you might as well get really, 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 really good at it. Yeah? And then once you say, you know what, I'm just going to get really good at life, because there's nowhere for me to run anyway, then you get your enthusiasm back and you start getting faith in something much more interesting, much deeper, much more profound. And then life starts becoming fascinating. So then when you see the signs, if the signs are telling you that something isn't working and you need something else, then rather than trying to pretend that it's, you didn't hear that, you say, I'm listening, and I'm going to go for it, you know? And then things speed up, and you start having faith in the currents of life, in the wonder of life, in the wonder of the power that's coming through, instead of fighting with it.
So, practically, I'm just seeing some of the questions coming into, you know, it's like you might be wondering, well, okay, how do I know what I need to let go of, right? How do I see what needs to be let go of? How do I progress on my path? And we don't have to worry about it too much because it really comes down to this law of intention. If you want it at the core of your heart, if you want the truth, if you really, really at the core of your heart desire to experience your highest self, to experience the presence of divinity, if you really want all of this stuff to come up, I'd say that's all it takes, really, is that desire and that intention. Because rather than the law of attraction, something David Hawkins talks about, you notice I'll mention him sometimes, I love him very much. He actually lives just very close to where we are now when he was alive. He talked about a lot, it's more the law of intention, and I found this to be so true in myself, that what I intend at the core of my being, I intend to release all and everything that is untrue, whether I need to become conscious of it or it's something that I just energetically keep giving to God, however it needs to go. My intention is that it's going to happen. Life is going to bring those situations. So perhaps the best thing to do is just tune in with your heart of hearts. Am I willing to release all that is not true? Am I willing to face what I need to face and go through what I need to go through? And am I willing to have that level of fearlessness and courage and trust in higher power to carry me through it, whatever it is, right? And I'd say really that's the core of all that's required to bring up what needs to be brought up, is your intention, is the core of your desire. And simply to, you know, if you find you're a little bit unsure if you want that, to start with that, to start with surrendering that up to a higher power, to acknowledge that and even ask the self, okay, well, am I willing to be willing to release this resistance? Yeah, so starting where you're at. And so it's your intention that's going to carry you on your path. And as well, being in spiritual community and having spiritual friends is an incredible blessing. Because if we're by ourselves, it can oftentimes be quite challenging to see the things we need to see, right? So being in a spiritual community and having spiritual friendships and discerning and really making sure that these connections are true, are of a higher alignment, a higher consciousness, are benevolent and supportive of your growth, it's incredibly powerful. And we need it. We really do. We need that in our life. And so that's another thing that can really help us to see sometimes what we need to see. And starts with your intention. And surround yourself, have the intention to surround yourself with things of a higher consciousness, things that are closer to godliness, things that are of a truthful nature, people that are dedicated to the path, truly. Sometimes music of a high level of consciousness, you know, just immersing yourself in these things is incredibly supportive and will lift you out of dark nights of the soul. It'll also help. And, you know, ensure that you stay on the path and that what needs to be brought up gets brought up and you have the strength to keep moving forward. So, you know, as we share these things and kind of retouch on the same things, it's just to really help you see in several lights and aspects these core truths. And I like to say truth is simple, falsity ever complex. Truth is simple, staying with the essence, staying with what's powerful, and not getting into the endless expansions of falsity, so to speak, that can really distract us from ourselves and from the past. And with that, I would love for Michael to share with us about the Ninefold Path, which is a foundation now of superhero training and incredibly helpful.
It's extremely useful to have a step-by-step path so you know where you're at in your journey. And before I share that, I just wanted to mention something else, that when we get on the path to freedom, when we get on the path and all these things come up and we lose faith and our life falls apart and everything's a mess, yeah, which does happen, so don't worry about it. Yeah, if it's a mess, it's supposed to happen. When we get on the path, we often worry, am I going to have to give everything up? I mean, am I going to have to give the whole thing up? And that's something that I was very concerned about when I first got on the path. I thought, well, what else am I supposed to let go of? I've already given up all these things and changed my life and all this stuff. What's left? And what we have to remember is that anything that is good and anything that is true and anything that is honestly beneficial, we can keep. You can keep all the wonderful things, all the things that are solid, that are good for you, that are beneficial, that are helpful. You can keep them. They're great. All that is required is to let go of the toxic, sticky, addictive, dysfunctional things out of our life, out of our soul, out of our body. You don't have to give up the good stuff at all. You're supposed to, that's good. Whatever's solid, whatever's good is going to stay with you. It's really important to remember that all of the wonderful things, all the pure things, the things that are really beneficial will stay with you. And it's just the other stuff that we need to let go of. So you can kind of relax, yeah? You can relax and know that what is genuinely wonderful is going to stay with you forever. Of course, situations change, but the core things of the soul, the love, the joy, the freedom, the purity, the power, the ability to think clearly, the ability to love others and be loved, all these things are going to stay. So as we go through the path, it's very helpful to know where we're at, because there are different challenges that we face at different stages of our journey. And so as I go through these 9 steps to freedom, you can have a sense of where you're at on your path. So the first step to freedom is to humbly and honestly admit to yourself that the old way of living has failed you. Because you wouldn't be here otherwise, yeah? Like, we get to a point where everything's a mess, everything falls apart, and we can't cope with life, and we don't like ourselves, and everything's a disaster. And at that point, we say, all right, I'm willing to put my hand in the air and say this is a total mess and it failed. That whole way of living, mainstream culture, consumerism, is, hasn't worked. Yeah, I mean, how many pizzas can you eat? How many beers can you have? Do you mean how much stuff can you consume before you realize it's not giving me what I want, you know? Go shopping all day long. How many, you know, pairs of shoes do you need? I mean, after a while, you have to say, this doesn't work. Yeah, so something about your life hasn't worked. And then you're in a position where you're open to something new. So again, like we were talking about on this call, losing faith is actually important because you're losing faith in an old map, an old idea, an old belief. Once we've done that, then we're open to the magical next step. Step two is where we are open to recognize that there is something greater than ourselves that can help us. Yeah? What happened with me, I'll just remind you of that story I shared earlier. When my life fell apart, I was open to meditation for the first time, and I realized that there was this amazing power available to me, this amazing bliss available that I never even knew was there before, and I realized that if I aligned with that energy, then I could attain all these amazing things in my life. And so step two, and this is something that we all go through, is we say, I need to connect with that power, with that light, with that love, with something beyond my ego, because clearly the ego has failed us. So step two is a big step, yes, when you're saying, I'm not doing this on my own anymore, I need help, and I'm willing to receive this magic power, yeah? It's a really big deal. The next step after that, and this is an extremely important step, is making a commitment that I'm going to actually live a spiritual life so that I can develop this new way of being. Yeah, so this is where we actually get on the path practically. So it's not just theory. And this means taking time every day to connect, taking time every day to go deep, focusing on prayer, meditation, deepening your relationship with this being. Yeah? Because once we're on the path, then we need to sustain it. And this is critical, because if we don't have enough of that connection, then we haven't got enough power to deal with all the madness in our lives. So step three is committing to having a regular practice that allows you to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And all of us here would agree, in superhero training, that, you know, as the teachers, if it wasn't for our morning practice, we would all be completely screwed. If we didn't do our morning practices all the time, every day, for years and years and years, we would be a total mess. Yeah? So this is absolutely the foundation, is once you recognize that you need that experience, then do it every day again and again and again, and be in a position where you can do that as priority. So then once we're on the path, I mean, I feel like step three is where you actually get on the path, where you're really on the path. Once you're on the path and you're starting your meditation regularly and you're looking after yourself and you're taking the time to reflect on your life and what's going on, then we're in a position to have a good look at our lives. And that's when we move to step four, where we say, I'm now finally willing, I'm willing to look at all the things that are not working in my life. All the weird stuff, weird relationships, internal blocks, emotional stuff, you know, judgments, all this stuff. There's so much stuff we can look at. I'm willing to look at it, and I'm willing to let it go. And this is where we take advantage of this wonderful higher energy to help us release all these things, because we can't do it on our own. So step four is where you're just basically saying very humbly to yourself, I am willing to see my life and remove things that don't serve me anymore. Because as you go forward in your path, you can't carry dead weight with you. you can't carry boulders around. You don't want to be walking around carrying big rocks in your bag, yeah? So you look at your life and say, why am I carrying all these heavy rocks? Why do I have all these weights, these chains attached to my legs? And you decide to cut the chain so that you can be free and you can create a new life for yourself. So step four is very powerful because we can't really move forward into our flying stage, into the state of peace and bliss and joy, unless we've cut the chains that are binding us to the past. And once we've cut enough of those chains, we start to feel light, we start to feel free. We become like flying birds. Yeah, you can fly in the sky. You've seen the birds flying in the sky. If they had chains on them, they'd be stuck on the ground, yeah, being eaten by things. But they can fly, so they're in the sky. You become like that. You can fly, finally. Our wings have been clipped. Yeah, our spiritual wings have been clipped. And so we need to really look at all this stuff and get our strength back and learn to fly. Getting out of the cage. So step four is about getting out of the cage. And then we're in a position to be open to what is our true path, what is our mission in life, what is our vision, why are we here, what's it all about? Yeah, because you can't think clearly until then. Because up until then, our mind and our visions and our dreams are all basically social programming. You know, most people just want the things they saw on TV. So once we release all that, we start to have a whole new world open up of things that are true to you, your real vision, your real mission, your real dharma, your real purpose. Yeah? And then you get the clarity, the insight of something that you can live for. And that gets you out of so many other problems because you now wake up in the morning with joy. You're excited to do it. Yeah. Then the next step after that is to create a plan and action. How are you going to bring this vision into real life? Yeah? Because you're grounding it in. How can you actually make it really real? So it's not just an idea. Once you've got that, then we move on to step number seven, which is deeply and publicly committing to your mission. Yeah? So it goes from an idea and a plan to really happening. You know, if you think about it, like Mahatma Gandhi, he made public commitments about what he did. Yeah, it was very public, and he was on a mission. He had a vision, he had a plan, he had an action. Yeah, Mother Teresa, vision, plan, action. Martin Luther King, vision, plan, action. They all had vision, plan, action, and commitment. They committed, and they committed publicly. Doesn't mean you have to go out onto the streets and shout out loud, but you commit to your peers, you commit to a group, you know. So in superhero training, we have people commit in the group, commit to each other, make real commitments so that this starts to become grounded into real life, and then you're really activated to live a new life. And what that does is it changes your internal map, because once you make a commitment to bring forth these wonderful ideas into real life, you shift the way you see yourself, you shift the way you think about yourself in relation to the world, and your whole life begins to warp and shift, because that change internally changes your behavior, your actions, your sense of who you are, your relationship to other people. Everything becomes easy, yeah? So public commitment, don't underestimate the power of having an actual powerful commitment. Yeah, this is extremely potent. And then step number eight is, once you're on your mission and you're waking up in the morning and getting on with it, then we need to look at all areas of our life again, because remember, you don't just look at your life once and say, okay, that's good to go, you know. You don't just clean your house once and say, I don't need to clean again, I cleaned last year. Yeah, you've ever done a, you know, clearing out of your clothes, of your closet. You don't just do it once and then say, oh, that's all good. You know, so we need to go back and have a good look at everything and say, based on who I have become, based on who you have become now, what things in your life do you want to keep and what things in your life need to go, based on who you are now? Because who you are now is different than who you were when you started. And then step nine, the final step, is having had a powerful experience and changed your life and become someone totally different now, bring your wisdom, your guidance, your experience to others. Be of service to them. Help others along the path so that you become a mentor to others who are starting out on their journey. So you become mentored at the beginning, and then you become a mentor yourself at the end. And then you do it again, yeah, because this is a cycle. Yeah, then you go to a higher level, because all these things go in cycles. They go on higher and higher levels of power and experience and mastery. Just like if you read a book once, you get some idea of it, you read it again, you learn new things, you read it again, you learn new things. These nine steps are the nine steps to freedom. And that's basically what superhero training is about. Step by step, moving into your ultimate destiny and freeing yourself from all this stuff that really is not yours anyway. All the pain, all the confusion is all this programming that has come into you, and it's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it all go.
Thank you, Michael, for sharing those jewels of wisdom. It's really what's required, you know, when we see even people in history who have done great things. You know, they didn't do it alone, and there's some sort of structure, right? And anyway, one of the most beautiful things that we really need is we need to be held accountable. Other people need to know so that when we reach those moments when we feel like giving up, we don't give up, right? Because we're held in that spiritual community, in spiritual friendship. And I know for so many all over the world, for whatever reason, there must be a higher purpose and gift for this. So often you find that there's no one really around you that is like-minded and really resonate deeply within a soul level. That's what I hear just again and again. And that is what is beautiful about this gift of the internet and how we can come together and still create a very powerful energy field of love and support and freedom and purpose, even in different places all over the world. And, you know, perhaps we're dispersed for good reason to disperse the loving vibes and peace and power that each one's committed to. But you know, that's really what the superhero training is about. We need to have that in our life, community support. So I'd love to hear from you, anyone who has questions on the call. We have some from the webcast, but if you're on the line and you would like to connect, just go ahead and press star 2 to raise your hand. And we have two hands raised. Wonderful. So I'm just going to unmute this first one, California, ending in 504.
Michael?
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Blessings and gratitude.
And blessings to you as well.
That was incredible. I feel like I was on like a roller coaster.
Welcome to the roller coaster, brother.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's a lot to take in. I felt myself like falling at one point, but I know that that feeling is sort of the feeling of like next level. To be like brief and to the point, if I could ask one question, it would be, how do I get over having resentment towards all of the delicious and wonderful ways of being that I need to be in order to do what I need to do, namely and chiefly probably responsibility. I feel like I have to keep like learning the value of like being responsible. And it's like, I feel like I got it. You know what I mean? And like, at what point, like, do I have to, like, can I just get that? And I don't have to keep learning it and learning it and learning it and learning it and learning it. And I'll just stop now. Thank you.
You, brother, yeah, responsibility is, I mean, all of us, whether we like it or not, and this is quite shocking to realize that all of us are exclusively responsible for our lives. Each one of us individually. No one else can take responsibility for our life, which is quite alarming when we realize that. And life, it has a funny way of giving us the same lessons over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's a bit like we have a personal hurricane that follows us around, ruining our life again and again and again in the same way. Till we finally get the message. Yeah, so has the hurricane been following you around?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it will continue to follow you around, by the way. So what I realize, I mean, having had lots of hurricanes following me around, I realized after a while, look, rather than running away from these hurricanes, I need to run into them. And as you're probably aware, that when in the middle of a hurricane, the middle of a tornado, is the sweet spot, the silence in the middle, the eye of the storm, yeah, where it's peace. What we tend to do is run away from these hurricanes, but ultimately they just follow us about and ruining our life along the way, yeah, because the more they move around, the more they smash things. So we have to run into them, find ourselves in the middle, and then you can dissolve the storm from the inside. So the reason I'm saying this is because when you look at this responsibility issue in the eye, you look at it in the face and just say, right, what do I need to learn here? And am I willing to just focus on that and just get it now, or am I wanting to have more hurricanes? Just that decision to do what is unnatural to us. And what I mean is that it's natural for us to run away from pain. Yeah, when we feel pain, we run. Not natural for us to face pain directly. But what we have to do in order to break out of old patterns is look at them in the eye and have the courage to hold our ground and go towards them. And once you stay with it long enough, then the whole thing will collapse and you won't have any more problems with this responsibility. Does that make sense?
When you said go towards them, you mean go towards...
Go towards... Basically, what's happening is you're having resistance to learning a lesson, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And you can run from it like you have been, and it'll keep chasing you around. This issue, or you can look at it directly and you can face it and you can say, what do I need to change? What has to be different for this lesson to be fully embodied and learned? Because it's trying to tell you something, isn't it? I mean, why don't you tell us all, right? What is this lesson trying to tell you about responsibility? What's the message that you're getting?
Don't mess with it.
Yeah. You know, Michael, with great power comes great responsibility, right?
Mm.
And so go with it. Be like rather than resisting it, embrace it. Because if you are here, which I sense you are, here to do something powerful, great power comes with great responsibility. And you're just kind of in that learning, and it's in your life to strengthen you, to make you more solid, to make you more unshakable, even with tons of responsibility. The greatest souls that have ever walked the earth have had massive responsibility, you know. And so embrace it, you know. I think you, like you said, don't mess with it. So, good question.
Yeah, the hero's journey, I just want to mention this, the hero's journey, because everyone here is on a hero's journey. And most heroes, quite frankly, are reluctant heroes. Reluctant heroes. You don't really want to do it. Yeah, part of you is like, I can't be bothered with all this. It's a hard work. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so there's one part of you that's like, please let me get out of this so I can just sort of, you know, have a few beers and just watch the game or something, yeah? Or whatever it is. But another part of you is like, look, you have to do this. There's no way out of it. And this is the challenge that we all face, that there's one part of us that's totally up for it and knows it has to be done, and there's another part of us that wants to run the other way. And so just acknowledging that you are basically a reluctant hero, and that's actually fine. You know, most heroes, and through most of history and movies, films, books, myths, yeah, the reluctant hero. It's not just a hero, it's the reluctant hero. And so after a while, what happens is that you try and run, and then it follows you, and then you try and run again, and it follows you, and after a while you say, I don't really want to do this, but I haven't got any choice. I've got no choice. And at that point, you realize, well, if you've got no choice, because you have to do it, then you might as well get good at it. Yeah, you might as well be really, really good at it. Do you know what I mean? Once you take that on, you might as well really go for it, because you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. It's, yeah, it's there for a reason, and I'm really glad you asked this question. And there's actually a message for you from Jenny. She has another nice perspective for you. She says she was given this a few years ago. The word responsibility, as its true meaning, if you split it up, responsibility, like the ability to respond, the ability to respond to our intuition, our true self, our true life, and feeling this word in this way changes the perspective of the word responsibility to the freedom of the ability to respond. So she wanted to share that with you. And I think it's true. I think we gain agility, you know, ability and agility to respond and be powerful and clear. So.
Wow. Can I say thank you to that person?
Yes, she can hear you, so thank you, Jenny.
What was her name?
Jenny.
Thank you so much, Jenny. That was huge, because you're right. The ability, well, what resonated with me with that was the ability to respond to your intuition. So by having responsibility, it sets you up to be in a place where you can actually be in the moment and in response and, like, connected. So
exactly.
not hampered in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So the responsibility is helping you take responsibility to be able to respond. So it's a kind of a double responsibility, because responsibility is making you able to respond to the fact that it's coming up. So you have a responsibility, you have three responsibilities, actually. It's worth, you probably want to write these down. I thought you just had one, but you actually have three, I'm afraid. So, Michael, so here's what you're responsible for. All of us are. We're responsible to reach our own highest potential for ourselves, for our fellow human beings, our brothers and sisters, and to a higher power, to God. Yeah, we're responsible to reach our potential to ourselves, to God, and to others. And when we embrace that, you know, we actually feel happy. You know, you finally feel free because you're doing everything you can. You're doing the best you possibly can. And that's how we go to bed at night. We rest our head on our pillow and we feel like we had a wonderful day and we did all we could, you know.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to hear you, and thanks for bringing this to the call tonight. Okay. So we have another hand here. Number ending in 601, Hamilton. Hello, we've just unmuted you.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Rishasha. You're from Montana.
Hello, Rishasha. Wonderful to hear you.
I have a kind of a two-part thing, because this was kind of like really partly for me to call this, you know, for the call. I take care of a lady that has, you know, she's been really sick, and it's been like over the past 3 weeks, she's had some really close calls, I would say. So I feel like sometimes I'm walking or I'm staring down the rainbow bridge with the angel of death on the other side, and sometimes, you know, because I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. Because I'm caring for her, I'm following my intuitions, and doing the proper things I'm supposed to do. And then by the time I get home, I'm wiped, you know. And it's drawn a lot of energy from me, but I feel like it's the right thing to do. It's, you know, in this care for her family and her concerning all the things that have happened to these people over the past couple of years, I felt like I'm holding up the legs to the table. One of the questions I have, especially right now, is astrological stuff that goes on. When we're dealing with our own growth, as like bringing ourselves up spiritually, when we are doing that, how does astrologically retrogrades play into this, or if they do, in your opinion? It's been a question that's been eating me up, because there supposedly has been at one time 5 planets in retrograde at this present time. One of them just came out, which is Jupiter. Mercury is supposed to direct on Sunday, and Mars at the end of the month is supposed to turn direct. How does this play in? Is this a group consciousness thing that was created, or what?
That's a great question. And I just want to just acknowledge you for the wonderful work you're doing. What an angel you are. What an angel. Thank you for being such an angel.
Oh, well, you know, and there's such good stuff that comes out of it inside of you. You know, once you say when you lay your head on the pillow, you know you've done the right thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do feel like I'm walking on eggshells with her, and from time to time, I get feelings like, you know, and I feel like she's going through, and I think it's like birth. People go through stages of whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go, you know. And if you're like an empath and you're sitting there and you're like picking this up, it kind of has a way to throw you from side to side because you don't know what they're going to do. And then it changes, you know.
Yeah.
And
very
so,
destabilizing potentially. You just don't know what's going to happen. Could be any day.
Yeah, or it may not. You know.
Okay.
And so
yeah.
It's like, how do the planetary situation play in, and also anything else you can tell me that might help stabilize me? Because,
yeah.
you know, I'm 65 years old at myself, and I get up at 5 or 4, sometimes 4, to do spiritual work, and then I, you know, go. But I want to have time to do other things, like there's stuff I need to catch up on, I need to read, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'll let you take it from there and see what I can glean from your viewpoint.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to know is that the date of our death, all of us, the date of our death is fixed at birth.
Oh, okay.
Everyone has a death date. I mean, it sounds a bit shocking, yeah? But
yeah,
in other words, you're not going to die until then, yeah?
Okay.
So, because it's in the Akashic Records, it's all done. It's already there, right? And there's been tons of evidence of this and research and kinesiology, you know. So you can kind of relax. I mean, I see this as a wonderful thing that, you know, sometimes all of us at different times may feel physically sick or worried about things or you know, have near accidents. Like when I was 10, I nearly got hit by a car and I feel like I had another life. I was nearly knocked down, like within like a fraction of a tiny, it was like, you know, not even a millimeter, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, you know, but it wasn't my time, yeah? So it didn't happen. And so this woman... It's stressful, you know. It's an odd situation for you because you don't know when she's going to leave because you can't tell. You don't know what the date of her death is. So
right.
As far as you're concerned, it might be today or tomorrow, but it might be for 10 years from now. I mean, it's hard to tell. But
no.
Just understand that whatever it is the perfect time, and your job is to really hand that over to God, because it's between her and God, really, what happened
right.
to her soul. And I'll give you a little story. Someone that I know in India, a friend of mine, he's an anaesthetist, yes, so he runs he puts people under general anaesthetic when they have an operation. And apparently that job is the highest suicide rate of any job in the world, anaesthetists, because they can kill people. Yeah, because if you give them too much, they're dead, yeah? So that's like the most stressful job in the world. It's a bit like your job, yeah, because you just don't know what's going to happen. But he's like got his hand on the gun to these people literally every day. And most of the time, people only have one person at a time. He runs 4 surgeries at a time. 4.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Right, which should put him in a state of a nervous wreck and like barely on suicide all the time. But actually, he's in a total state of joy. He's never killed anyone. He's been doing this for about 15 years. And he basically surrenders it all to God. He says, it's not my business. I'm God's instrument, and I'm going to trust in the guidance. And he has wonderful music playing, because you know, these people are knocked out anyway. They can't hear anything. They have this lovely music playing in the the theater, and he's got 4 of them going at once. And he does like I think 8 a day, and he has done for years. So he's like responsible for 8 people possibly dying again and again and again, different people, and has been for years and years, and not a single death. So I just thought that'd be an inspiring story for you. And his secret is handed over to God. You know, he understands that it's kind of he's just trusting in a higher power to get the job done, because there's no way he can do it on his own.
Right. Right. Because, you know, I've just had close calls of her glucose going really low, and I've had to bring it up, you know, myself, and I've gotten it up, but it's just, you know, I feel like I step on eggshells, you know, am I doing all that I can do, and I feel like I'm being guided, I feel like, you know, I put out my all, I give it my all, and It's just been it's sort of nerve-wracking and draining, but you know, at the same time, I do feel the hand of God. I do feel the hand of God there on me, guiding me to do the right things that I need to do, you know.
Yeah.
So I've got that. It's just been it over the past 3 or 4 weeks, and it's led into my questions about astrology or anything to do with that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, is there stress points in time during these astrological events, you know?
So coming back to the astrology, when I first heard about Mercury retrograde and all these retrogrades, I didn't believe it, actually, because I was, you know, I just thought, why should I believe that? But I have found consistently, I'm a believer now, because
yeah,
I found that during those times, all kinds of shocking things seem to happen. Everything seems to be a lot harder.
Yeah,
things
through molasses.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's all this technology issues. We've actually had to go through like 2 or 3 different phones and different headsets and all these different things because it's just like a mess.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard to make clear decisions and it's just all over the place. So that definitely does have an effect on us, because just in the same way that if it's hot outside, yeah, physically, you can't think as clearly. If it's super hot or if it's really cold. So, if, you know, the temperature affects our judgment and our ability to do things. The atmospheric pressure affects us. If there's lots of pressure, people can get headaches. If there's lots of, you know, pollen around, people get hay fever. So the physical world we're aware of is affecting us. The moon is affecting us. So, of course, these planets, very massive things, very powerful, they're obviously going to be affecting us as well. It's just that because we can't see the planet easily, yeah, because they're not right here like the moon. The moon, you can see it. You can see the sun, you can see the clouds, you can see the storm, you can see the snow. You can't see Jupiter clearly. It's not like this big thing in the sky. So when we go through these things, there are subtle energy. We're not necessarily visibly aware of it, but it definitely has an impact. And so what I recommend is, in the Mercury retrograde phase, is to take the time to just consider what life's all about and tie up loose ends and not try and bring any newness into your life normally, but not in all cases. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you just have to be open to stuff, but at the same time be willing to look at what is life trying to tell you. It's a time of reflection, a good time of reflection for most people.
I kind of thought that's kind of the way it is. It's just been more hectic for the past, you know, 3 weeks for me. And it was a burning question on my mind as to what superhero training kind of thought about it and kind of what to do. And I have been doing that. I've kind of been working on myself. And with the time that I have and the energy. But I want to catch up on some lessons in the heat superhero training, and I haven't been able to. And to write you guys, you asked for us to put input on as to how we're doing and what's going on, and I haven't been able to do that. So I'm going to try to get that done as well. But thank you. I think that helps a little bit, just voicing it and having somebody to listen and be there, kind of helps me, you know, because it's kind of you get kind of lonely, you know, so, but, I think they do have an influence too, and I just more or less tend to what business that I'm doing, and stay out of the way of you know, usually I introvert more during this time than I do other times, you know. And I think it's probably a good thing to do that at that
time. Exactly.
You know?
And staying, you know, like we are connecting now and staying connected. And at the same time, you know, on one hand, there is an influence. I don't want to confuse things, but at the same time, there's a realness to just flying with God, just flying with your purpose. And these things have an effect to an extent, but you know, we don't need to, like, pay attention to them too much, but to just keep to the essence, keep to your practice, keep staying connected, and just keep flying with it. And sometimes the pace will pick up, and sometimes it'll slow down, you know. So it's kind of like the ebb and flow of life and so many things in life. So.
Well, it's like, you know, at the age I am, it's like at this age, it's in a lot of ways, it's speeded up more for me. And you're thinking, oh, you're going to slow down and read books. Maybe you're going to do some writing and stuff like that. Nay, not so. You know, my mother and my grandmother were at home, and I'm thinking, what is this? You know, and I'm flying around here like I'm, and I'm not. I feel like I could use about 2 weeks of vacation or rest or something. But it's like I'm up, you know, and I'm going, and I work, you know, 5 days, and then sometimes six for somebody else. So it's like, you know, at 65, you're thinking, okay, but, and then there's things that I want to do, you know, I want to write, you know, and I want to do some things too. And I know they're there to do, and maybe I'll get to do them, you know, but I had this desire to do some other things as well. And I know some of those things I can't do and right now, but eventually, because I want to stay on my course with the superhero training and then see what comes of it. So I have some desires to do other things, but I definitely won't abandon my post on this because I was asked by the Great Mother to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she says, because I was going to retire, and they lost a daughter 2 years ago who passed away, and they got saddled with 3 grandchildren. And it's like, and the mother is speaking to my heart, she says, please don't go, please don't go. And I didn't, and it was a good thing, you know. So I see the wisdom in it, and I see the merit in it, you know, and there's gifts in that that are way beyond anything you could receive in this world. But, you know, there are things that I'd like to do, you know, and maybe I'll get to do them. But anyway, thanks for listening, and thanks for answering my question.
You're welcome. You will get to do those things. You will. And just keep on going on the path you're on, and you're listening, and you're definitely being guided by a higher power. So keep on going on, and it's going to continue coming into place for you.
Yeah. Well, I love you guys, and thank you.
We love you. You're welcome. Thanks for connecting in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you all. There's quite a few lovely comments on the webcast. Some of you just sharing you're here, and we love you. It's so wonderful to be here together, and it's really creating a field of power. That's an energy field, because we're spiritual beings coming together and committed to the higher path. And I really honor you and acknowledge you for being here. There's one last question I'll read as it could help other people. Michael from Ireland, and I know we shared some of this on the call, but we'll just share some final thoughts, asked, how does one remain in the holy flow when life is not going how one would like it to be? I sometimes find that if my life is consistently not going how I would like it to be, then I can tend to get bored with life and not be fully engaged.
What a wonderful question. So the holy flow, what does that even mean? It means life, destiny, the wonder of life, the flow of life, the way things are moving, the energies of the universe are moving in a certain way. And when we're aligned with the energies of life, then we're flowing with life. And when we're not aligned with the energies of life, we're kind of out of the flow, out of balance. So a lot of the time, we're not in the flow because we're not either, there's two ways of looking at this. One is we're not aligned with ourselves, and so we're kind of off the flow because we're not getting in the flow. And the other is that you might be aligned with yourself, but the universe is moving in a different direction, and you're not paying attention to life. So I'll give you, this has happened, I'm sure, to all of us, where we expect something to happen, we want it to happen, and then all of a sudden it's not happening, and not happening, not happening. Many times there's secrets and mysteries in the things of life, the reflections of life. And if we expect things to be the way we want them to be, we don't see something that is right in front of us. So what I would suggest to you, Michael, is to have a look at where this flow is going. Like, where is the flow? What is it trying to tell you? What is it telling you? And are you willing to jump on that new flow? Because it could be you're waiting around for another wave. It's a different wave. And there's this new wave here, and it's trying to help you get on a new wave. And so the reason this can be a little bit weird is because we don't really know what that new wave is. We don't know quite how that new wave's going to play out. And it's new and different. It's new and exciting. But if you're willing to jump on this wave, because life is trying to help us. Life is trying to help you. It's trying to help me. It's trying to help everyone. And we need to have a subtle vision to be able to see the way things are moving and then jump on that and flow with it. And the way we do that is by taking care of ourselves, doing the morning meditation, getting in that experience, becoming aware of a bigger picture, a bigger part of us, and then looking for the clues. Because once we do this, life actually becomes very, very interesting. Because rather than us, you know, being bored about things, we're fascinated. We're like, all right, what's going on next? What's this trying to tell me? Where is it going? And you can jump and allow yourself to be pulled in that new direction. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's a great question. And also to remember and stay connected with that the holy flow is an internal orientation. It isn't based necessarily on external events. And I think what can happen is that we begin judging how much we're in the holy flow based on the external circumstances. Like if we find ourselves in the most beautiful place in nature moment to moment, then we're in the holy flow, and if something not so pleasant happens, we're not. But it's basically kind of like coming from this orientation, since we've all been under this spell, the sleep of body consciousness, right, but kind of bringing everything into a gross physical level. When the essence is spiritual and the holy flow is an inner orientation of yourself, of your spirit, of your connection with divinity and higher consciousness, and that is the magic. And from that place, everything that unfolds is beautiful. And you just keep following kind of the next steps that kind of higher knowing is guiding you to do. And everything's a holy flow. Really, kind of no matter what it looks like, you're in tune, you're internally aligned, and then your life is naturally taking a magical course because your experiences of that. So, go deep in yourself. Go deep in your connection to that higher power. Go deep in your practice. If you don't have a practice and you really want to get oriented with one, we share a lot about this in the training, just the most powerful practices we know. We personally practice to be in union with the divine. And one way or another, it's a spiritual inner orientation, and And that is our holy, holy, holy flow. And this is a great question, so thank you, Michael from Ireland. And all of you here from all over the world, it is such a blessing to have a soul family that is global and connected and sharing on these deeper things. And just acknowledge each and every one of you for bringing your light and your presence here this evening or this morning or this afternoon.
Yeah, you're awesome. What a wonder. Like we said at the beginning, just being on the path or being willing to get on the path is half the work done. And so just to, you know, close and recap a little bit, well, we have another question. Another question? Well, I'll just share this quickly and we'll take the next question. Just to recap, losing faith is often a wonderful thing because we're losing faith in an old map of reality. We're letting go of old ideas. We're losing faith in something that is going to allow us to have faith in something much, much more powerful. And we shared many stories, and I'm sure you have your own stories, where actually abandoning one thing led you to something else. So when we zoom out and we have a bigger context, we realize that everything in life is trying to help us. It really is trying to help us. And our job is to do everything we possibly can to see the messages, get the messages, and align with that.
Thank you, Michael. So we have another question, and I'm also just seeing Lance from Asheville, and so happy him and Michelle are on the call. Hello. He was just sharing a link that says, just hours till blue moon activation. So isn't that fitting? We're all here together connecting, and it's like, maybe, I haven't seen the link, but just hours till some powerful astrological event. So it is very fitting. You know, the matter, the universe is following spirit, is following our spiritual story. And that's really the way to look at it, rather than we're following the story of the planets. They're following us, you know what I mean? So that's what's going on. So that's really cool. And anyway, just before we close, I just wanted to take this last question. I think this is Ethan. Oh, we have two more questions now, maybe. Hi, Ethan. You're unmuted.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Magical,
good.
Brother. How
are
you
doing?
Awesome.
I'm doing good. Doing really good. Yeah, just right before this call, got off the call with the mastermind group that I'm in, and that was really, really good. So yeah, back-to-back calls here for me, and you know, I'll try and make this quick. I don't necessarily have a question per se, but I just wanted to see what you guys might have to say about this particular subject for me personally that maybe you haven't said already in the call tonight, because it's about, you know, faith and kind of what do you do when you lose faith. So I've shared with Ariel and Kathy as well about how, like, my current job or place of employment is just not necessarily at all what I want to be doing. You know, it's not my calling. For sure, it's serving me, you know, in a really beneficial way right now, but I've, you know, got this deep desire and sense of, you know, I want to do something profound. I know that I'm here to do something profound in some fashion or another and share my art with the world and whatnot. And one of the things that I have been kind of struggling with in recent years is just getting clear on what that is. I've got multiple ideas on and different kind of aspirations and passions that could pull me in different directions and whatnot, but I haven't, you know, really gained clarity on anything particular at this time. And I'm okay with that, but there's times when I begin to almost kind of get into that mindset or that sense of losing faith of, you know, is this ever going to happen for me? You know, am I going to figure this out someday or not? So I'm just curious to see what you guys have to say about that, if anything comes to mind.
That's a great question. So basically, the fact that you have an intention to discover whatever that is, just the fact that you have that intention is setting you up for manifesting it. So don't underestimate the power of intention. Yeah, they seem quite, you know, mellow and yin and not like very, you know, active, but they're extremely powerful. So you start with the intention, you start with the vision, and you just hold the vision in your mind. And if you don't know what the vision is, or you have lots of options, you just hold a vision that you know that you're using your life in the best way you can. And you just have the feeling, rather than an image, you have a feeling that you're fully supported and you're sharing your gifts. Yeah?
Right.
So have you ever felt that feeling where you just allow yourself to imagine? You can do it now if you want. Just close your eyes. And just imagine for a moment that you're in the future and you are using your time and your life and your energy in a wonderful, wonderful way that you love, and it really helps people, and you're sharing your gifts. And you just feel satisfied, you feel happy, you feel full that your life is in the flow and you're of service and you're enjoying yourself. And you're allowed to smile, if you want.
yes, definitely. Yeah? You're doing that, that's essential.
Yeah, so that was just a glimpse, yeah? But if you spend 5 minutes a day, literally, I'm not saying, it doesn't have to be hours and hours, 5 minutes in the morning, just holding that feeling, and being open, you're basically saying, I'm willing and open to discover what that's supposed to be in various ways. So you're open to it, yeah, because you don't know necessarily. It could be this, could be that, could be this. But you're not attached, you're not stressing, you're not forcing. You're just saying, I'm open to wonderful clues, I'm open to ideas. Sooner or later, things will shift. Yeah, sooner or later, either an opportunity will come to you or an idea will appear in your mind or something will happen, and you just have to recognize that that's there, and then once that happens, then you can move forward. Yeah?
Right, and
you know what I mean? Just start simple, yeah?
Yeah, and when I get that sense, I know there'll be a fiery sort of aspect to it that I just know that that's, you know, I'm passionate, right?
Yep. Exactly, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's really helpful.
And then you jump on it. You jump, and it'll be easy to do because the energy is ready.
Exactly, just start.
Yeah. And in the meantime, there's two things I recommend. Firstly, go through, you know, superhero training, go through the steps we've talked about, because the more you let go of things, the more this stuff becomes clear, the more your vision becomes clear. So don't underestimate the power of just releasing stuff, you know. And Kathy's awesome. Yeah, Kathy's got tons of experience in helping people find aligned employment. So talk to her again, you know, and see if she can help you. I'm sure she can find an upgrade, which will happen, you know, as soon as you're ready. Yeah, because I've heard some pretty shocking stories about your job, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not surprised. But I just want to, you know, bless you and appreciate you for, like, being on these calls, and like, you're really hardcore, like you're a proper student and like really on it. So we love you, Ethan. You're awesome for like showing up, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I actually regularly share with Michael how awesome Ethan is, because he's just so, he just stays with the practices. He really does it. He really shows up. And Ethan, I know it's going to pay off. It really will. It will. So do that practice Michael was sharing about. And it does sometimes take time. Even kind of in the entrepreneur story, I mean, everyone's story is just so much work and, like, not seeing results for, like, years and years and years. You know? So often there's a book called The Big Dip. And usually what happens is right before things are about to shift, people give up. So don't give up, because it's usually right before that moment where you're like, oh, my God, I cannot do this anymore, that a big shift happens. So keep going and keep holding that powerful intention, and take action on the opportunities that come in or the insights that come to your mind about your next chapter, essentially.
Right. Yep. Take action on the inspiration that comes through and just follow it.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll keep that at the forefront of my awareness.
Good.
Great. Well, I really appreciate all that you just shared with me. It's wonderful. And yeah, I know it's all going to come through when it's meant to. And I just got to, like Michael said, that intention alone is the one key ingredient that's going to get me there.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then when you are ready, and when things are just going to happen fast, so you kind of have to be ready to jump. Because oftentimes it's a little bit slow, a bit mysterious, not quite sure what's going on, and then boom, like massive changes, boom, 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 yeah. And you might end up living somewhere else, totally different job, different people, different situation, like different everything. Like
it'll be fast. It'll be fast, yes, so be ready.
Yeah. So you'll be like, forget, you know, just prepare for it, and just have that feeling, because you know, it will happen. I mean, I can tell. I mean, there's no doubt about it. All the stuff you're doing, you're getting ready, you're sincere, you're on the mission. It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. And I'm excited to find out what it is, because we've seen this happen to hundreds and hundreds of other people. So it's not like it's not going to happen to you. Of course it's going to happen to you. And it might be even me next week, or it might not. Do you know what I mean? But either way, you know, you're learning the things you need to learn at this point in time. So it's all part of your wonderful journey. So
yeah, hallelujah to that.
Hallelujah to that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I love you guys. Thank you so much. And
we love you too. You're welcome.
Love you, bro. Keep it up and keep in touch.
Will do. I'll look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Okay. Wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful. So I'm probably all these questions have helped the rest of you on our call tonight, which is really the beauty of just coming together as well, because we all learn from each other, and we're bringing in a rare blue moon in a few hours. You know, it's just by our willingness to keep going for it, keep on going on, stay connected. Keep your faith, and when you lose your faith, know it's the best news ever. And it's going to be great. So we love you all, and we're sending love to Nick, who couldn't get reception in the jungle this evening, but I'm sure we'll hear from him next week. And many, many blessings to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your willingness to face life, be yourself, and just sending you so many blessings that things are going to work out in miraculous, mysterious ways, better than you can imagine, better than you can imagine. The best is yet to come, and I assure you it's going to be so amazing that you will be astounded that this is even humanly possible to experience.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Okay, so on that note, we'll close for this evening. Lots of love, and we'll connect soon. Aloha.